It's wonderful to come back to Dora Creek. You know, I was asked to be the pastor here 21 years ago. And never made it because I retired. So I just come here and preach sometimes. You know, we live in a world that's so messed up. And everything's gone wrong with the world. Even the politicians say that, and they don't know how to fix it. And we as Adventists, when we live in the world, eventually we get sick of living here. And that's not because you get old. Because while, you know, I'm on the shady side of 80, the facts are that some of us are still very young at heart. But there is so much wrong with the world that when we come together on Sabbath, I think we need to get a picture of the big picture. Don't you think so? And today, we're going to talk about heaven. Now, yeah. When you turn these things on, they actually work. There we are. We're in business now. My wife and I were invited to become missionaries, and one of the things that we saw quite a few of was this creature. Do you like crocodiles? Do you? You like crocodiles? We have a song that goes, never smile at a crocodile. Yes. And the crocodile has a face that's only its mother could love. And we have a lot of crocodile stories. And I was going to tell a story this morning about crocodiles. And then I changed that story. And then eventually I got my wife to tell the story. So we'll keep this for next time. One of the things I like about the Bible is that it has such a wonderful beginning. Here God uses 7 days, and in 7 days he makes a world that we can only sort of imagine what it was like. You imagine, I mean, what would a crocodile eat before sin came into the world? Could you tell us, Pastor? We have no idea, do we? And it's the same with sharks. I mean, what would they eat? And so when God makes the world new, it'll be interesting to learn just exactly what mankind will eat. And then God put in place the sanctuary, which we didn't talk about in Sabbath school lesson this morning except for the Levitical formula, wasn't it? And so you have... there, Christ is sacrificed, and as a result, we can go to ultimately the new kingdom. This is what Jerusalem may have looked a bit like when Solomon built the temple there. And then, of course, it was destroyed. And if ever we needed a new beginning, we need it right now. And here we look forward to the day when Jesus and the children can get together. Now, I'm not quite sure how that's going to happen. That's going to have to be in heaven, because by the time they get back to this earth, they'll be 1,000 years. How old? 1,000 years. You know, we really don't understand just the future. And this is where the best is yet to come, and heaven is for real. Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians. And I am very, very happy that Paul wrote this in his book. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And here to his church at Corinth, Paul, the apostle, wrote, verse 1, "It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." You see, the apostle Paul was not a disciple of Jesus. He is after the time of Christ. And so when God wanted him to become the evangelist to the Gentiles, that was in our Sabbath school lesson this morning, he had to learn all these things about the Old Testament and what they meant and so on, because Jesus had come and he had persecuted the Christians at that time. And so God spoke to him with visions and revelations. Verse 2, "I know a man in Christ," that was Paul himself, "who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven." Now, I've preached this service and people came to me later on and said, "We never realised there were three heavens." And that's where it comes from, to the third heaven. "And I know no such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise." So the third heaven is paradise. "And heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter." Wow. What a beginning to the study on heaven. The best is yet to come. The third heaven is the paradise of God. The first heaven is the atmospheric heaven, the sky. Turn to Genesis chapter 1, please. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 8. "And God called the firmament heaven, so the evening and the morning were the second day." In creation, on the first day, God made light. On the second day, he separated the sky from the water, and he called the sky the firmament. In verse 20, "Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." The sky is an amazing place. This morning somebody asked me, you know, is Adventist aviation doing anything? Well, today, on the Sabbath, this morning, I've forgotten her name, Camilla, from Gosford, has taken five Gosford church members, drove all the way to Cessnock, and there they've jumped into an aeroplane, and Gary Fraser has flown them from here over to Bawarana in 2 hours. That's some bird, isn't it? And that's some flying. Yeah, it's amazing what you have in the sky. And nearly every day on television, you watch it and you'll see a picture of a sky somewhere with something up there. Aeroplanes, rockets, birds, big ones, in our garden at the village, we have birds this big that fly around in the sky.
And of course, that all happened by evolution, didn't it? Man, I see those little creatures and I'm amazed at what God has done. That such big birds, the kookaburras, they laugh at us, and the emus and kiwis and whatever, they have trouble getting off the ground. But all these birds that fly and let us know. And then you've got clouds up there. What on earth is a cloud up in the sky? Up it goes, and then it forms a cloud. And then when it's heavy enough, down it comes as rain. And one day, my wife was actually flying with us, and here I was piloting the plane, straight at a bank of clouds. And in the middle of the cloud, there was a little black dot. And we aimed straight for the black dot, didn't we? But as we went to the black dot, there was a full circle rainbow. So even the rainbow is in the first heaven. And then when we got to the cloud, we actually went into that black dot and discovered that it was the shadow of the aeroplane. With the sun behind us, there we were. And we flew straight into it. I'm glad there wasn't a mountain inside that cloud. In New Guinea, you never fly in clouds. In Australia, if you're above 7,000 feet, there's nothing to hit. But there you were. And so the first heaven is fascinating for people who are involved in it. The first heaven, the atmospheric heaven. But then there is some of the pictures of the clouds. Job 12 verse 10 says, "And in his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind." And they've pulled air apart and discovered that it's made with nitrogen, with oxygen, with argon and global warming. That's been changed now to global boiling, right? Carbon dioxide. And it's amazing how God has put all of this together, and we breathe it in and out. Without it, we wouldn't live. And so the first heaven is very important to us. Now, and the birds. And then we come to the second heaven. And the second heaven is the starry sky. And here is a picture of the earth from outer space. And you look back and sometimes it's even green. All it has to do is rain. And here in the second heaven, we have the sun. And then what's the next planet? Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune. There's big arguments about whether it's whether it's a planet or not, but it doesn't matter. It's something that's out there. And there, the second heaven, all of a sudden, man no longer lives in this planet just by himself. Out there are just so many objects. What's the difference between a planet and a star from our point of view? Twinkle, twinkle, little star. Now, planets don't twinkle. That's how when you look up in the sky and you see Mars there, it doesn't twinkle at all. And Saturn, Neptune, they don't twinkle. But the stars are so far away that they actually twinkle. And it's all part of God's creation. Verse 15. 14 and 15. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years." And so God uses them to communicate to us. Then God made two great lights, the lesser, greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And if you go out tonight and look at a clear sky, I hope,
you'll find there is a moon which is about three quarters full. And there's one little bit that is still what? Our shadow from the earth. You get it on the moon. And so the second heaven is a very interesting place. Psalms 19 is one of my favourite verses. Psalms 19. And verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. You know, when you look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them, so shall your offspring be. Well, the scientists used to count the stars. When they counted them by eye, about how many stars could you see in a clear night? Yes, around about 5,000, 6,000. What does it mean? When this book, 3,000 years ago, said, if, Pastor, you can count them. God was right, wasn't he? Because, man, now we start counting, and what happens? I mean, every one of those, look at that. Every one of these is not just a star, that's a galaxy. When you put a telescope on it, it opens up, and lo and behold, there's another 1,000, however many stars there. The scientists have had to stop counting the stars because they can't get numbers big enough. And you and I have just no idea of how big God really is. The heavens declare the glory of who?
God.
Some scientist who's an atheist? No. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the more you look into it, I mean, please explain, what's this? You mean there's a cow up there with Milky Way? You know, people can't find the words to explain just what the sky is really like. That is, where did that light come from? Because every time the sun and the moon disappears from our sky, what happens? You have a black night. So that light has to come from somewhere. And this is where God's book tells us, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. With him there is no darkness at all. And when you start considering the subject of heaven, wow, there is a heaven here on earth, and there is another heaven between earth and God. The heavens declare the glory of God. And God said to Abraham, when Abraham got discouraged, and we get discouraged, God came to Abraham and said, see the stars? That's how many sons and daughters you're going to have. When he had nothing. See, it's like the sand of the seas. Have you ever tried to count the sand? You know, sand is amazing stuff. It gets washed down from Mount Kosciuszko and the other mountains, and it goes into the ocean. Then the sand gets washed up the coast to the island that's just changed its name, Fraser Island. And from there, it gets washed down into the deeper ocean, and those ocean currents take it to the western side of Africa, and there it gets washed ashore, and then by the winds it gets blown up into the desert areas of Africa. You didn't know that, did you? It's a good idea to come to church on Saturday because it's amazing what you learn. And here God said, see that sand? That came from Australia. And Abraham went, oh. And even if you're not a scientist of the stars, but if you're a scientist of the oceans and the sea, isn't it amazing to think that sand can travel so far? Travel so far. And your descendants are going to be like the sand of the seas. And today we have huge battles between Israel and the Arabs. Watch Netanyahu on the news and think of God and the promises that he has made with regard to the Jews, and that we as Christians are all part of the context that is going on, because we live at interesting times. Oh, the stars, the pictures they take of, I mean, out in space. What is heaven really like? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 and 4, the third heaven is the paradise of God. For behold, said Isaiah, I create new heavens and a new earth. Every now and again, in the Adventist village where my wife and I live, we have pictures that they put on our television screen. And we dial 111 and up comes beautiful music, and then you have pictures. And sometimes they have pictures up there, very unusual actions of animals. And here is a German shepherd like this. And sitting on his shoulder is an owl. And then they'll show another picture of the owl under his chin. And then they'll show another picture of the owl sitting on this side. And we get all kinds of pictures, don't we, love? It's just incredible. And this is where, wouldn't it be wonderful to live in a heaven where the animals and the birds actually get on with each other? And the former things shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Your kingdom come, said Jesus. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are talking about God who is living where? In the third heaven. Christ promised to his followers, I'm going up to heaven, but I will come back and receive you unto myself. So we're going to go to be with Christ. Christ has already been here, and you know that's wonderful. What he did here is just salvation to all mankind. But when we go to heaven, what a glorious day that will be. In fact, I think there's a song that uses those words, doesn't it? Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We're going to come back and inherit the earth, but we've got a little journey to take first. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I'm a bit of a fussy pastor. And when they start translating the Bible and putting in their rooms instead of mansions, I think those translators need to take another think, don't you? I mean, when we get to heaven, you're not going to be living in a room. You're going to have a mansion of your own. That's why it's taken so long for Jesus to come build a room. You can do that in a day. But a mansion, it takes a little longer. And just thinking about it, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We will take a journey from this first heaven through the second heaven until we get to, get to God's heaven. In all, these all died in Hebrews 11, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off or assured of them. Today, you and I are sitting in this church thinking about heaven afar off. It's a long way away, but it's on its way. We are on its way. Yes. But now, They desire a better that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. You know, we have people in the village that pass away, that die. We hear of accidents all around the world, everywhere and so on. My brother, my sister, on the Sabbath, think about heaven. That is our destination. That's where we're going. God has prepared a city for them. Now, I don't particularly want to live in a city. I've been to a few of them on earth, and the organist here has been to the city where I was born. It's a good place, isn't it? Yeah. The only problem was that when I was born, it was bombed to pieces. And the centre where the Martini Torren is, it's amazing that that building is still standing. Because I've seen that when it was an absolute, utter, total wreck. But here God has put in our minds, because of the Bible, because of Jesus, and because somebody came and preached it to you, our mind is fixed on a better place. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of... You know, it's a wonder. It's no wonder that atheists don't believe in the Bible. They've just pulled down 21 villages, houses in our village. And they're putting 21 new ones there. And what a blessing they'll be. But you know what they have to do? They've got to scrape out the ground and then they pour concrete. And then on top of that concrete, they put the walls. And then they put another concrete floor down. And then they put up another set of walls and so on. Can you just pick that house up and take it somewhere? A wooden one you can put on the back of a truck and then bring it and reposition it, and then you've got to put a new floor and so on. We never really think about what this verse means. Then I, John, in prison, on Patmos, writing the book of Revelation, says God's going to move his city from heaven to earth. Coming down from God out of heaven. Here are the kids sitting on the grass out in the paddocks when we preach this at night in Papua New Guinea. And they're used to living in a little bark hut somewhere or a bit of tin nailed together or whatever. When they see that, they do just what you've done then, to go quiet. Because we have no concept of what heaven is going to be like. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Not so long ago, we had somebody that was a bride, a beautiful bride. Today, she's got a child here, and her husband's as proud as, because here Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us, and that city's going to be as beautiful as a bride. That's what my wife looked like when we were married. Let the artists do their thing. Do their thing. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. They do that today, but one is inside the other. Up there, they'll be lying next to each other. And the little child shall lead them. Wonderful. People that couldn't have children on earth, you never know. Heaven may provide a way in which you can have the child that you never had. And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The specialist this week sat down with me and John, he said, see this, that's what's wrong with you, and this, and this, and this, but I can still give you your pilot's license, so thank you, Lord. But all of us are a little bit sick, aren't we? And some of us are a lot sick, but... And here the inhabitants, says Isaiah, shall not say that I am sick. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. Oh, can I throw my glasses away at last? And the false teeth, you know, I've just had a reminder, you've got to go and get... Look, you know, we're preaching real life here. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. All of us will be young again. Then the lame shall leap like a deer. And the you know, even in our gardens, we're reminded. Let's just go back to that one. Here we've got our gardens. Eddie? And do you know what comes in and eats the crops that we get ready? The deer. They come out of the bush there by Dora Creek. They come and they jump over the fence and into the garden. So us smarties, what we've got to do is outside that fence, we put an electric fence. And you have to put it far enough away so that it can't jump over both of them at once. See? And here, when you people who find it hard to walk, you saw me have to pull my wife up. I've got a very strong right hand. And this is where you pull them up because they find it hard to get up and then walk around. The lame shall leap like a... Darling, you'll be able to jump over both fences all at once. And the tongue of the dumb. Where did you find that family here that sang as we walked in this morning? I mean, that was just magnificent. And it fitted right in with what we're preaching about today. And this is where those of you who can't sing two notes in a row to bless yourselves, you are going to be the choir of heaven, and those of us who have been in the choirs on earth will be sitting down listening to you people sing, wishing that we were up there singing with you. And this is a picture of heaven, the paradise of God. The wilderness, the wasteland shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. They shall build houses and inhabit them. Today, a lot of builders are building houses. They don't live in them. But up there, you'll build a house and you'll be able to live in it. Just think for a minute. Why do you want to go and build a house? Because what's God building for you? A mansion. Does that tell you something? It tells me that I'm going to have a mansion in the city and I'm going to have a country house as well. Ah, and you'll be able to build it yourself. Plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build another habit. They shall not plant another eat. For as the day of a tree, so shall be the days of my people. When you go to Israel and you go to Mount Hermon there, snow covered quite a bit of the year, but there are cedars there that grow, and some of them are 2,000 years old. And this is where, and they don't break down. They are just wonderful trees. And this is where, for as the day of a tree shall be the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. The picture of Jesus. From one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me. And you know, everybody will be Sabbath keepers. The Sunday keepers who get there, they'll turn up on Sunday and the Lord say, oh, sorry, I've gone back to work already. You better come next Saturday and come and join us. You know. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with... Oh, what a day that will be. What a glorious day, glorious day. With everlasting joy upon their heads, they shall obtain gladness and sorrow and flee. Who holds this world in his hand? God. He can do it. Eye has not seen nor ear heard nor has entered into the hearts of man what God has prepared for those who love him. You know, the book of Revelation has a description of the New Jerusalem. And it's 600 kilometres long. And it's 600 kilometres wide. That's a fair size of a city, isn't it? And when you take that city and you put it over the top of Israel and over the top of the Arab countries and over the top of the top part of Egypt, it covers them all. There's not going to be an Israeli and the Arab problem. It's not going to be there because the city will have covered it all. Wow. And it'll be 600 kilometres high. You're going to need a pilot or a quick lift. Yeah. John looked up, said, "Lord, get me out of this place. Take me home to heaven." Her light was like a most precious stone. Well, then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, which is 66 metres. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. If every gate was one pearl, tell me, how big were the oysters? A great high wall. Names are written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, and the street of the city was like pure gold, like transparent glass. I flew in a jet from Melbourne to Perth, and they let me go up into the cockpit, and I said to the pilot, I said, "Tell me, how do you, you know, keep the windscreen clean?" He said, "There's a wiper on the outside, but the screen is two layers of glass, and in between is a layer of pure gold. And when we turn the switch on, the gold becomes the heater of the windscreen." Ever wondered why your air tickets are so expensive? But in heaven, we're going to be walking on it. Wow. Wow. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God gives its light. You see, where there is God, there's no darkness. And if God's going to be in that city, then there's never going to be a night there. Yeah. And the Lamb is its lamp. Never preach a sermon without getting a text from Revelation, because it has the final say on about things in the Bible, and here it's talking about the final heaven. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations. On them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. A pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeds from the throne. And on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, but not mangoes, yielding its fruit every month. There shall be no night there. Now you wonder why there won't be any mangoes, don't you? Don't you? I thought you'd never ask. My wife's totally allergic to mangoes. So, I said that in a Revelation seminar once, and the man looked at me and said, "No." He said, "The fruit on the tree of life are 12 different kinds of mangoes, one for every month." Dear, there should be no more curse. The throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. No more death, no more sorrow, nor crying, nor shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Are you looking forward to going to heaven?
Amen.
I sure am. And this is where today the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the bride, that's us, personal ministries director, and you young pastors, this is you. The Spirit and the bride say what? That's all we have to do. You say to people, "Come, journey with me as we walk together through to the kingdom of heaven." And if all else fails, just turn back to the book of Revelation and think of the heaven that God has prepared for each one of us. When he comes, we will say, "Lo, this is our God, for we have waited for him." And I think Seventh Day Adventists all around the world are seriously, more than ever, waiting for Jesus to come. He stands with the nail prints in his hands, outstretched, saying to you, come. And if you have never given your life to Jesus before, give it to him now. Because the moment you do, your salvation is secure. Your salvation is secure. May God bless you as you think about heaven from now on.